Yeah, Zephaniah. And we go back a long way, a long way. Hallelujah. And it's a good long way, too.
Amen.
Not just a distance, okay? It's a good long way. So it's kindred hearts through Yeshua HaMashiach. And Zephaniah, so appreciate you with all you've done in these years. This is not your first, is it? Nope. Hallelujah. Yeah, thank you, thank you. The other little bit of information I need to tell you so that you will not forget is that right after this meeting, we're going to take a 5-minute break, 10 at the most, and for our camp meeting. And that, you know, devotion, certainly we appreciate everybody being here. This is not something we expect everybody to be at necessarily. It's wonderful to see you. But the camp meeting, the only thing I say is, just talk to Abba. Just talk to him. But the camp meeting is something that we want everybody here because it's information that everybody needs to know because we've got a week to fellowship in together. And so it's information for you to know, and it's information for you to be able to explain to somebody else that may not quite be here yet. Because we do have some coming in during the week. And there's some things that we need to make sure everybody understands, before when they get here. And some rules that we got and some rules that the camp has. So that's the main thing there. But this morning for a devotion, and I always like to say, devotion. What is a devotion? It's to show that we are devoted. Okay? It's to show that you're devoted. Now the question is, to whom are you devoted? That's the question. To whom am I devoted? Too many times I look in the mirror and I think I see myself being devoted to myself too many times. Too many times. And of course, our devotion needs to be to who? The one true God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The sovereign of the universe. The one that created everything that we see. Who is in everything we see. If we see it, he's in it. Amen. Amen. He has done everything. He has brought us here today. And you are not here by happenstance, folks. This is the most significant, critical, strategic Sukkot that you have ever experienced. Okay? No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And so here you are at Sukkot. You have an opportunity. An opportunity to make Aliyah. And when we say that, okay, that's going to the land. No, but it's going up to. We got opportunity to rise up. Why? To be closer to him. Why? Because he wants to come down. When you see scripture, it's about him coming down. He came down on Mount Sinai. Okay? That set of principle right there, that he could come down. It's his world, is it not? He can do what he wants to do. He can come down. He wants to come down. He wants to just, and I do believe, I'm not going to say something. I'm gonna try to say guess what scripture, so won't be any confusion or anything that some Craig said this. No. But there's things that I do believe, and if I could really, really teach it out of scripture, I would. And I pray there's things that you believe that God has not given you total revelation that you got, that you were seeking for, that you're looking for, that you want to know, not so you can tell somebody, but so that you can be more confirmed and confident in who he is, trusting who he is, okay? This is what it's about. So you have this opportunity to do what? To embrace Sukkot. It's not here just to check it off. It's here to embrace Sukkot. This is why we're here, to embrace Sukkot. And I tell you what, if you're embracing Sukkot, you're also embracing others that are in Sukkot with you. It is about him, but it is about them also, okay? It's about him, but it's about them. We got to remember that. This is the real test of Sukkot. Not about him, but about them. This is where the real Sukkot is, because we have several days together. And as Jan was telling me this morning, if we could just rim back the heavens and see the spiritual things that were going on, if we could look and see how those that are assigned to different ones to try to make us trip trap over our own selves, saying, Jan says, we see how that spirit is saying, let's put this in front of him and see how he's going to react. See if he's going to say a critical word to that person and see how their spirit gets crushed. Let's see that. Let's do that. Let's do that. Let's see if we can't do that for him. See what's going to react. Folks, we have an accuser. He's at work. He does not like to see what is going underneath this tent. Okay? He does not like to see what's happening underneath this tent. There's no question about it. Joe says, you know, when he put that little occupy on, that became a target. This is a target, folks. This is a target. And we've got to understand what's going on in the world around us today, because it ain't pretty. It is not pretty. You know, we see what's happening in America. And this is not just America. We're not just the ones experiencing this wonderful outbreak of people's peaceful riots. You know, is that not an oxymoron? Okay, is it not? But so we are in a dark time. Why are we in a dark time? Because the kingdom of darkness is trying to take over. That's why we're in a dark time. Remember, he's always tried to take down God's people. He tried to do it first half. He tried to do it first back when certainly in the garden, but when Israel and themselves, the destruction of people during Purim, it was a time in which he was trying to wipe God's people out by what? You know, the sword. But then what happened? That didn't happen. Then what did he try to do? He tried to do it by assimilation. And that, you know, we had Purim, we were trying to be wiped out by destruction. Then we had what? Hanukkah. Because it was trying to wipe them out by what? Getting them to follow the other gods. This is where we are today. It's the same stuff. What happened when after Acts 2? What happened? Those Christians, they started being persecuted, sent to the Colosseum. Death didn't work. Got stronger, got stronger. What happened? What happened now? He says, "Whoa, just going to join them. We're going to start assimilating." What's that assimilation? What is that assimilation? Getting God out of everything. Taking the one true God, Yohei Vavhei, out of everything. And this is what has happened to our nation. The world, you know, it's happening in the world too. I mean, no doubt about it. But we felt like here, a nation. And Zephaniah, he has a heart for Africa. And there, what Jan said the other day, he says there's in Africa ministries of towns and all praying for America.
Yeah.
Okay, is that not something? Okay, is that not something? This is where we are, folks. This is where we are. So, we have got one to understand that God is totally in control. As Joe said last night, things may not go like we want them to go, but he's still in control. You know? And his presence is here. And we desire his presence.
Please.
Today, I just want a few more words I want to say about how we've got to get on that firm foundation, okay? And if you have your scriptures, sometimes a devotion uses a lot of scriptures and sometimes it don't. It's part of who's doing it. I usually do. So, and I want to go to Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Okay. Now look, and I'm glad Zephaniah is here, because if you want these books pronounced, he can do it. Habakkuk. We're going to start at the very first, just to give you a little what's happening. Is that this prophet was right at the time where Babylon has taken over the power in the Middle East. That's what was happening. They are the power, okay? And what he was witnessing in the land itself was an internal violence. That's what was going on. An internal violence was going on, law breaking going on, without being any punishment for it. Injustice is everywhere. And he started asking God, why all this? And as you read chapter 1 and chapter 2, he's asking God, why this? Why that? Then God answers him. It's chapter 2, he starts to answer it. God starts to answer him. And then at the last of chapter 2, verse 20, it says, this became Habakkuk's word understanding from all the repose that God gave to him. He said, but Yahweh is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. In other words, don't ask him why. Don't ask him why. It's good. It's okay to ask him why. He don't mind you asking him why. But you know, understand that he is in his holy temple. Everything that's going on, he has got control of. It is him that's doing it. And so we need to understand that, know where he is. And then he starts out in the Habakkuk 3:1. It says, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, according to synagogue. Now, that synagogue is not used but twice in Scripture. What is that? I didn't know what that was until it popped out at me. And I said, what's that word? I've read this, I don't know how many times. But that word there means it is a highly emotional prayer. A highly emotional prayer. Not used but one other time by King David. In Psalms number 7, that he was being, I think it was probably alluding to Saul's persecution, trying to kill him. Okay, the only other time, a highly emotional prayer and song. His song, as you read through Habakkuk 3, it's Selah. Selah is there several times. That's a song, pause. It's a musical term to pause, but not just pause in the singing of, but understand what you have just said. Ponder what you just said. And this is what this was. So, and Joe has brought this passage up so many times, the very ending of Habakkuk. Let's just shoot there real quick. It says, verse 16 says, and I heard in my inward parts trembling at the sound of my lips quivered. Decay entered my bones, and in my place I trembled because I must wait quietly for the day of distress. Tribulation. He knew it was coming. Why? Because what God has told him. What's in the scripture today? Tribulation's coming, folks. And he says, I gotta wait patiently for it. It's coming. But I'm gonna wait patiently for it. Yeah. He says, for the people to arise who will invade us. And then this 17 through the end of the chapter there. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food. And that is all about God's giving us everything, even his word, even the Holy Spirit. All is in reference there, okay, about what he's done for us, what he's provided for us, what he's given us. And even the situation, when you see that next phrase there, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, actually that is cut off, actually is divided in two from the lamb. Who was divided in two from the land? Ephraim and Judah. Even though Ephraim and Judah was not together. And that was a situation at that time because Ephraim had been assimilated.
It was.
To them scattered 100 and something years at that time. Probably about 125, 30 years at that time. That's what had happened to Ephraim. And that the flock should be divided from the land. And there be no cattle in the stalls. No cattle in the stalls. Not that you don't have nothing to eat. But why did you have the fatted calf? Why? To celebrate the feast, to rejoice with your brother. And see, this is what it's talking about there. You understand that there's no feast going on. There's no celebration with the brother. And we know today that we're not trying to lift us up, ollie us up in any way or anything, but there's not that many gathering today in the United States of America celebrating this feast day. Not many. Folks, what does that speak to you? You have a responsibility. God has opened your eyes, lifted the veil in a way that puts you in a position of responsibility. And it's critical. Why? Because of the others. The others that don't know that this is what's supposed to be going on and what God's doing. And most of all, as we keep on reading here, Yet I will exalt in Yahweh. I will rejoice in the Elohim of my salvation. And we know that's Yeshua. Yeshua T. He's our salvation. Yeshua T. He is. Then that phrase, Adonai Yahweh. As I see, keep saying, when you see Adonai Yahweh, instead of Yahweh Elohim, you're talking about end times. You're talking about end times. Adonai Yahweh is my strength. He has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on my high places. Now, as we look at that, makes me walk on my high places. What's the first place that you hear about high places in Scripture? Let me read it to you. If I can flip pages.
Turn the wind down, Lord.
Did we bring the lapel mic?
Yes.
Yeah, there we go. Let me just hold that. Ta-da. Good thinking, somebody. Leviticus 26:30.
We have a heavy thing up here somewhere.
Here you go. No, don't worry about it now. I just want next time. Somebody else. And of course, this is the penalties of disobedience of God's people. Then I will destroy your high places and cut down your incense altars and heap your remains on the remains of your idols, for my soul shall abhor you. Okay? So most of the time in Scripture, we talked about when it says high places, we're talking about high places of what? Baal, the idols, the high places that people make, right?
Yeah.
But what this Scripture here says, I will make, it makes me walk on my high places. My high places. What can that be? What can that be? Isaiah 28:16. And I purposely don't mark it so people can get there the same time I do.
That would be everybody.
28:16. Therefore, thus says what? Adonai Yahweh. In time. Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation firmly placed. He who believes in it will not be disturbed. Thank you, Father. Psalm 62:2. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. So, what is the high place that is being he's being made? Is the high place of the rock? Is the high place of Yeshua? That's the high place. Why do you want to be on a high place? When the flood came, did people not try to get to the high places? Okay, all right. And it says makes me walk on high places. Makes me walk on these high places. Like hinds' feet, sure feet, though that peak may get, it may be so narrow, yet I shall stand on it. Because what? That rock is underneath us. That's our foundation. You do have a high place. It is him. Okay? It is him. Do we not know that the enemy always counterfeits everything? He counterfeited the high places. This is what he did. He counterfeited Yeshua every way that he could. And he's going to counterfeit him again, folks. This is why we got to be so aware of what's going on. And we've got to be so aware of what Scripture is saying about the days that we're in. Now, I did not go through rest of Habakkuk. If you go through that, There are so many things in there, but I will go just one place and let you know, because it will be a back of three, and just there's one phrase here. Before him goes pestilence, and the plague comes after him. Okay? The plague there is the burning fever. Burning fever. That's what it is. It's not you, that word for plague there is not used but seven times, not twice. Only twice is used as in reference to a plague or a burning fever. And that is the other place is Deuteronomy 32:24. And Deuteronomy 32 is what? The song of what? Moses. The song that be sung when? The end times. The end times. I said 32 what? Thank you. They shall be wasted by famine and consumed by plague and bitter destruction, and the teeth of beasts I will send upon them with the venom of crawling things of the dust. And we know that they experienced that in the natural, did we not? Okay? I'm talking about the venom of the ones there in the desert, of the snakes when they started biting. And I do believe this, that this is not speaking of snakes. This is speaking of end times. But the venom is from what? It's from the false Messiah. It is what he is going to be bringing forth. It's the venom that comes from him, the snake, the false Messiah, the one who, from Satan's kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, that's what it will be coming from. That's why we have got to go back and understand what Habakkuk has said right here. That things in that day was terrible. Things in this day is terrible. There was injustices then everywhere. And God can put up with sin more than he put up with injustices, folks. He can put up sin more than he can put up with injustice. Sin is against who? Him. Injustice is against who? Them. Okay? That's what it is. And this is where we are, folks. So, we have got to be strong in understanding of that rock that we're on, that we will exalt him, we will lift him up, we will praise him for what he's done, for him bringing us what? To this season. That we are experiencing this season, this Moedim, this time. And this is supposed to be what? A time of rejoicing. So should not, if he brought us to this time of rejoicing, and we want every day to be, there will be a time that we will, Joe said last night, we'll step from the time of Sukkot into eternity. Woo! Is that not time to rejoice? We ought to be rejoicing all the time, because this is where we are. Please, get rid of any fear that you have. Any fear that's trying to grip you about what you see around you, see what's happening, or what may happen, of the plagues that we see arise. That plague, God allowed it to happen. That's not the wrath of God yet. That's not the wrath of God yet. The wrath of God's coming. And it's coming on this world. Why? So he can right this world. As I've said so many times, he's going to show Satan that you can't come into my garden, mess it up, and he'll fix it. He is in the fixing business, he is in the restoration business, and this is where we are, folks. So as we continue this Sukkot exercise, which is an exercise in what? Our faith. And that faith is not in what I can get, but it's a faith in who he is, okay? It's faith in him, faith in Yeshua, faith what he is going to do, trusting him where we are. This is where we, what we are about and what we do. Because he wants to come down. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is his kingdom coming down. And we have this opportunity that he's given us to experience. Something that generations look for. Generations look for. This is where we are, folks. It's awesome. It is awesome.
Oh, how great you are.
But we got to be sure that we can deflect all those spiritual attacks. Lord, that's trying to trip us up.
Hereafter.
a spiritual tax that tried to get us against, go against our brother in some way.
Please.
To listen to the false narratives that's out there raging.
Yeah.
God is in control. Now, what do we do? Do we say, sit back and say, God, just do it. Oh, yeah, go ahead. No. I don't want it to happen to folks. I've got to pray. I've got to intercede. Okay? Did Yeshua want to go to the cross? But he would not have prayed that prayer, God.
Whoa, buddy.
If you can take this, he said, you can do anything.
Woo.
If you can take it away. If it's our will to take it away, do. He can do anything. He could have took it away. That was another highly emotional prayer.
Whoa.
And maybe even a song.
Here I cry.
I don't, knowing Yeshua, that was probably even a song that was lifted up in that prayer. Just like the song David lifted up in anguish. Just like Habakkuk right here, lifting up a highly emotional prayer song to you. Just as in that garden, what did Yeshua ask his disciples to do? Watch him pray. And he did, you know, he divided them up. He's told these just to watch. The next one is he's told to watch and pray. Folks, from what he's shown us, he's expecting us to watch and pray. Watch and pray. This I challenge each and every one of you. Because Yeshua came back and what has happened? Oh, the flesh is weak, is it not, folks? Is it not? The flesh is weak. Oh, but the spirit is weak. Really. And in him it is strong. In him. And it's the Holy Spirit. This is something that's so important in these days. Is the receiving of the power, the inspiration, the knowledge, the wisdom, everything, the insight, the discernment that the Holy Spirit brings. And the Holy Spirit, wants to come. He wants to come. The Holy Spirit in Scripture was a sign of what? The dove, was it not? And when Yeshua came up, the Spirit fell upon him like a dove. Like a dove. Like a dove. Is it? Let me just maybe close with this right here. The Holy Spirit. Let me find it. Father, where is it? It's in your Scriptures. Thank you, Father.
It's in Genesis. That narrowed it down.
I have a word for you between Genesis and Revelation. You're fine.
Oh. Oh.
It's Genesis 8:9. And this is the dove coming back. Genesis 8:9. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot. Why? Because there was no dry place. No dry place for it. Okay? So she returned to him into the ark. Okay? Where was the Holy Spirit in heaven for Yeshua? In the ark. At the ark. So the water was on the surface of the earth. Then he put out his hand and took her. There's two inflections of the word hand. One's an open hand, one's a closed hand. When someone is out, you see the hawks land on the people with that have the trained falcons and everything. How do they hold the hand? They put the arm out, close their hand, and what to do? They bring the hand in. This is what it says. Then he put out his hand, took her, and brought her into the ark to himself. It's the receiving of the Holy Spirit, folks.
Please.
This is what we need.
Please.
We need to reach out. Not with something trying to grab. Yeah. But with a closed hand. Something that I need to bring in to my heart. To this ark. To this temple. This is what he wants to bring into us. So Father, today, on this beautiful Sukkot day that you have graced us with, and it is your grace, Father, that we can even stand right here. It's your grace and mercy that we can even stand right here. Because of what you've done, Father, because of Yeshua HaMashiach has made a way for us to receive from you everything that we need. And Father, we know that that comes really with the office of the Holy Spirit. And Father, may we receive the Holy Spirit in a way, Father, that will truly, as Yeshua came up out of the water, will lift us up, Father, meeting you in your presence. Father, we thank you for your presence being here. Father, let us not quench the Holy Spirit in any way during these days. Let us not quench the Spirit. But let us, Father, receive the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit, Father, being discerning of the spirits that's trying to bring us down. And Father, we know as we do this, Father, it will truly be an Aliyah Sukkot as we embrace Sukkot. In Yeshua's name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father.